Todd's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
In the 6th chapter of Ephesians, Paul gives the 6 pieces of armor that the Christian is to wear. And I believe it to be the same thing as the putting on of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this armor is for all believers. All believers have this armor, or they are not saved. And we're called upon to put this armor on every day that we might be enabled to stand. I've heard preachers say you need to put this on that you might live the victorious Christian life. And when I hear things like that, I become a little bit offended. Every believer is victorious in Christ. The scripture says we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So when preachers use language like that, they're really taking all the focus off of him who is the victory and putting it upon you and how you're living, and that's going to be nothing but a discouragement. That's not what this armor is all about. Now, the first piece of armor is having your loins girt with truth. You got to begin with the truth or you haven't put anything on. And then the breastplate of righteousness. And I heard one preacher say that righteousness is your own personal purity and practical righteousness. Well, I sure don't want that to be my breastplate. The righteousness he is speaking of is the righteousness of Jesus Christ given to every believer. And then the third piece of armor is our footwear. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What is it that makes me prepared as I walk through this life? Ready? The gospel of peace. Christ is my peace before God. And then we read of the shield of faith. And that was not just a small shield, but a big shield that you would get behind, the size of a door when the arrows were coming at you. That's what the word signifies. And that's talking about the faith of God's elect. It's what believers believe. And then in verse 17, we read, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I would like to confine our thoughts this morning to the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Now, a helmet is to protect the head. Now, we need armor. The reason we need this armor is we are still in a state of war. We're not in heaven yet, and we're in enemy territory. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And we need this armor for our protection. And a helmet is for the head, the protection of the head, the brain. The brain is what gives the rest of the body commands. All 5 senses are in the head. The sense of smelling, the sense of seeing, the sense of tasting, the sense of hearing, the sense of touch. It's all in the head. You can't say that about any other part of the body. But all 5 senses are in the head. And it's called the helmet of salvation. And let me say this with regard to salvation. I'm going to say the same thing Jonah said in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? The whole of salvation, from a sinner being dead in sins and to the time he stands among the redeemed, perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. The whole of salvation, taking a man from that depth to that height, the whole of salvation from the beginning to the end is of the Lord. He himself is salvation. Now, anything in your brain that runs contrary to what I just said, anything in my brain or my thoughts that runs contrary to what I just said, salvation being of the Lord, is error. In what we hear, if it runs contrary to salvation of the Lord, what we're hearing is wrong. If anything we see runs contrary to salvation of the Lord, we're seeing things. We're not seeing the truth. We're seeing something else. Anything we smell that doesn't smell like salvation is of the Lord is a noxious odor. It's no good. It's odious. Anything we taste that doesn't taste like grace, taste and see that the Lord is gracious, which is what salvation of the Lord means. Salvation is by grace, same thing. If it doesn't taste like grace, we are eating poison. Now, here's the helmet that we wear. The whole of salvation, from the beginning to the end, is of the Lord. Now, in this thing of salvation, insofar as our experience goes, and if I'm saved, I have an experience. I experience something. Let me say this. I hear people say, I got saved, or you need to get saved. We ought not use language like that with regard to God's salvation. If I'm saved, it's because God has saved me. He did it. It's His salvation. And so I don't want us to speak of salvation as something we got or we get. It's what the Lord does for us if we're saved. Now, in our experience of salvation, there is a past, there is a present, and there is a future. In Acts chapter 15, verse 11, the Apostle Peter said, we believe, and this is what every believer believes, we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. And he's talking about the Gentiles that didn't have the law. He doesn't say they'll be saved like we Jews. We Jews will be saved like those Gentiles. The only way they can be saved is by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord, in his infinite wisdom, uses the Greek language to communicate the gospel in what is known as the New Testament. Now, we have translations. Many that claim to be translations, I fear, are not translations, but interpretations. Man's interpretation of what's being said, rather than just giving us what God says. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the job of the translator is to translate what God says, not give his interpretation of what he thinks he means. And I have no doubt that the King James Version is the best translation of the Scripture. Somebody says the language is too archaic. Try reading it. Try reading it. You'll see it's so much better than so many of these other so-called translations that give their slant of the meaning rather than what God says. But God, in his wisdom, communicated the gospel in the New Testament in the Greek language. Now, the Greek language has something that the English language and many other languages do not have. The Greek language has what's called the aorist tense. Now, you don't need to know Greek to read the Bible. And if somebody tries to make that claim, I can't stand it when people are always the Greek this and the Greek that. And I like what one preacher says, I know a little Greek. He lives over on 7th Avenue. That's a better way to deal with something like that. But still, the Bible does use the Greek. And in this aorist tense, that is what is used when Peter says, we believe that by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. In the aorist tense, you can use that as the past, the present, and the future, and it's all true. You could just as truly translate that, we believe that by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been saved, That would be an accurate translation. Or we could say we believe that by the Lord Jesus Christ we're being saved, and that's true. Or we could say we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, and that's true. Past, present, and future are all comprehended in that tense, and that's the tense in which this statement is made. We believe that by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved. There's salvation. Insofar as our experience goes, salvation has a past, salvation has a present, and salvation has a future tense. Now let me try to talk about that for a few moments. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save." There's the word. He shall save his people from their sins. Now that is precisely what I need to be saved from. I need to be saved from my sins. If I didn't have any sins, there wouldn't be any problem. I need to be saved from my sins. Now let's think of that in terms of the past. When Christ died, my sin was put away. I was saved from my sin and sins before I was born, in that sense, if I'm a believer. Listen to this. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, "He saved us and he called us." Which came first, the saving or the calling? He saved us and he called us. He saved us first. As a matter of fact, that salvation didn't simply take place at the cross, although it did. It took place before the foundation of the world. Christ is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The elect were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Let me finish that scripture. He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now everything that the believer has was given to him in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, listen to this scripture. This shows the completeness of this salvation from the past. "For whom he did foreknow, knew beforehand, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." Now from foreknowledge to glorification and everything in between, the believer already possesses. But there's something very important in that passage of Scripture. Calling is mentioned before justification. Now somebody says, why is that? Because you don't have the right, and I don't have the right to even suspect that we're justified until we believe the gospel. And when you believe the gospel, you can believe that you have been justified. But before you believe the gospel, called to believe, you have no right to believe that you are saved. Now that's the past. I've also got a past in the sense there was a time and when I was dead in sins. I didn't believe. But the Lord did something about the past. He gave me life, and that's when salvation turns into the present. When God gives me life and I believe the gospel, I can now do, believing the gospel, I can now do what I could not do before. Now, in the past, I was saved from the penalty of sin. It was all wiped out, and I was just before God. In the present, I'm saved from the power and the dominion of sin. Now, what does that mean? Well, there was a time when I could not believe because I was dead in sins. I had no interest in the things of God. Oh, I may have been religious, but I didn't have any interest in the true and living God, finding out who He is. I was completely ignorant of my own personal sinfulness. I thought I was just as good as anybody else, maybe better than a lot of other people. But when God reveals Himself to you, you're no longer under the dominion of sin. You see, you're under the dominion of sin when you don't know you're under the dominion of sin. That's when you're under its complete control. When you're so duped as to think there are certain things you can do, you can believe whenever you decide to. You can repent whenever you decide to. You can become a Christian whenever you decide to become a Christian. That kind of thinking betrays the fact that you're under the complete dominion of sin. You're blind to your own self. But when God saves you, you're delivered from the dominion of sin. You're now able to do what you couldn't do. You can now believe on Christ. You can now come to Christ. You can now love God. You've been delivered from the dominion of sin. That's salvation in the present. Now, when you're delivered from the dominion of sin, you still have the old nature. And it doesn't get any better. When people talk about, oh, I'm becoming better and better, well, you just don't have any spiritual life or you wouldn't say anything like that. Because if you had spiritual life, you'd know you have an old sinful nature that never gets better. It cannot believe, it cannot repent, it cannot not sin. But here is the blessing of this present salvation. You've been given a new heart and a new nature. A nature that believes. A nature that cannot not be holy. A nature that cannot not believe. A nature that cannot not love. It's a holy nature. And it's greater because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now that's deliverance or salvation from the power of sin. Remember, He shall save His people from their sins. He saved His people from the penalty of sin on Calvary's tree and in God's mind and purpose before time began. He saves men from the power of sin when He gives them a new heart and a new life. And then there's salvation from the presence of sin. That's the future. Now, if you still sin, you haven't been plumb saved yet. You're completely saved when you no longer sin and you are perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. That is in the future. That will not take place until heaven. But thank God it will take place. Now, this is a complete salvation. Now, this thing of salvation, how do I know I'm saved? You know, I've heard people make these statements. I never doubt my salvation. I'm assured for heaven as if I'm already there. Now, as soon as I make a statement like that, some kind of doubt's going to come into my mind. When somebody makes a statement like that, I don't even believe them. It's just religious talk. That's all it is, religious talk. People trying to impress you with their religiosity and their piety. Assurance of salvation comes only by looking to Christ. It's not by seeing how good you are or how good you've become or how gracious you are or how much all the way you're living. Salvation. Now, don't get me wrong. I want to live in a way that honors Christ, but my assurance doesn't come from my living. My assurance comes from His living. My assurance comes from looking to Him. Now, when I first looked to Christ, I didn't have anything else to look to. Him only. You know what? It's no different right now. I don't have anything to look to but Him only. I don't have anyone to look to, certainly not myself. Him only. And the day I enter heaven, the second before I enter there, it will still be Him only. I don't have anything but Christ. But the only way you're going to get into heaven is if you have nothing but Christ. If you have anything else, you will not be there. This thing of salvation, the only assurance of salvation, is that you look to Christ only. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Now this salvation, the helmet of salvation, the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. When Jonah cried from the belly of the fish that had swallowed him, salvation is of the Lord, that's when that fish spit him out. Now let me close by making these five statements regarding salvation. This is the salvation, the helmet that every believer wears. First of all, salvation is of the Lord in its purpose. Now, I purposely did not use the word plan. How many times have you heard somebody full plan for your life? And it's almost like it'll be a shame if that plan is not realized by you messing it up and you not doing what God wants you to do. God's plan doesn't come to pass. You know a word that's not in the Bible? Plan. Men make plans. I make plans. But who knows if they're going to come to pass. God's in control of that. Man proposes, God disposes. Our plans are, well, they're that. They're what men make, and they may or may not come to pass, dependent upon the sovereign will of God. But God purposes salvation. God purposes salvation. And if He purposes salvation, salvation must be. He said, I have purposed it, I will also do it. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That's all God's purpose. You've taken, and with wicked hands have crucified and slain. That doesn't get you off the hook, but it's still all according to God's purpose. I'm so thankful it's that way. I'm so thankful everything is according to the Lord's purpose. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, well, everything's going to work out. I think there's a reason for everything. Well, there is. His purpose. And salvation is according to the purpose of God. God purposed salvation before time began. Now, if God would have said to the angels before the fall, if He said, I'm going to create man, man's going to sin, man's going to fall, and yet I'm going to make a way to be just and still save men, even though I'm going to punish all sin, how do you think I'm going to do it? If He would have done that, the angels would still be scratching their head because they would have never known. They couldn't have come up with this purpose. But God has purposed a way to be just and to justify the ungodly. Not simply to forgive the ungodly, not simply to pardon the ungodly, but to justify the ungodly. That is God's eternal purpose. This is what gives Him such glory. This is why the cross is such a glorious thing. How it glorifies and exalts God. Salvation is of the Lord in its purpose. Now, I love to think of the Lord standing as my surety before time began. He took full responsibility for my personal salvation. And at that time, His Father looked to Him for everything He required of me. Now, that's salvation by God's purpose. Secondly, salvation is of the Lord in its execution. Before, when Christ agreed to be surety, He accomplished salvation. He took complete responsibility for me. I've already said that, but in time, He came. In time, He came for me. I love it when He said to John the Baptist, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, the us that He's speaking of is everybody He represented. He came as a representative for His elect. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And in time, He came and He kept the law for me. And He died for me, taking my sins and making them His very own and put them away. And He was raised from the dead for me. He did all this by Himself with no help or contribution from me. He accomplished salvation. He by Himself purged our sins. Salvation is of the Lord in its execution. He did it all. We made no help, no contribution in this. He did it all. And thirdly, salvation is of the Lord in its application. He, by His Spirit, gives life to the dead. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Listen to this scripture. To as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on His name, which were born, which were birthed. Not of blood. You're not a believer because your mom and dad are. Not of the will of man. Not because a bunch of men got together and decided we'll pray through until you're saved. Not of the will of the flesh. Not as an act of your will. But of God. Everything in the new birth is of God. Completely. And then the sustaining of salvation, this thing of daily grace given, the final perseverance of the saints all the way to the end is of God. The scripture says we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory. Oh, we're preserved. The reason we continue to believe, the reason we persevere to the end is of the Lord. It's not because of any goodness in our part. Now, we persevere. We seek to persevere, but it's because we're preserved by Him. And the final glorification of His people from the resurrection of their bodies. Now, how much do you help in resurrection? Not at all. You didn't help in your spiritual resurrection. You won't help in your physical resurrection. This is of the Lord. And I'm going to be perfectly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I'm not even going to remember what it's like to be a sinner. I'm going to be perfectly holy, without sin, without spot, without anything. I'm going to be just like Christ. And beloved, that is of the Lord. That is His work. And His work alone. Salvation. The helmet of salvation. Now that's the only thing that will protect us. The helmet of His salvation. Not something we contributed to, but something He did alone. Now, may the Lord give us grace to put on this helmet every day. We have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Niper praying God will make Himself known to you.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nibert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.